Welcome to Love Works with Chris and Karen Conley. This is Karen, and I am here with my husband and partner in crime, Chris Conley. He's also better known as the lead pastor of High Point Church. We are so glad to have you today as we tackle a topic of leadership. Some of you listening today may go, oh, of course I'm a leader, and you're thinking positional leadership. But as all of us need to be reminded, we all are leaders in some capacity or another. So I look forward to this topic today, Chris.
Well, even when we think about leadership, the thing I would like to encourage people to remember, leadership really begins with our giftedness. God gifted each person. And that giftedness, it begins as a talent. And then God adds that supernatural something to that talent, and it's a spiritual gift. It's a special ability. If we think about it that way, then God gave every single one of us a gift for a purpose, to do something with it, to lead in some capacity. And all of us have a circle of influence. If we can just lead ourselves, leadership really begins with ourselves, and then we can begin to lead in our circle of influence, then what we're going to see is we're going to see that God will use those gifts to make a difference.
I just think this topic is timely for me personally. Yesterday, I had one of those moments where I was just like, why do I do what I do? And does it matter? And am I using my gifts well? And I think it's so important for all of us to have those moments. We talk about vision leaks, courage leaks as well.
Absolutely, because the circumstances of life battle against you having courage.
Absolutely. And so in that context, I think we come and we all have dreams of how God is going to use those gifts, those things that we sometimes we have this false humility. And as a believer, we don't want to say that we're good at something. But all of us know, wow, that's something that actually comes naturally to me. And it may be very different across the spectrum what those things are. But how do we move from those dreams of what God might be able to use us to do and how we could be used for the kingdom and not get stuck in reality? We get to those moments where we have that dream and then we walk into the day-to-day life and we all of a sudden just the air is sucked out of those dreams. So help us to know, how do you as a leader of your home, of your children, of your business, of your organization, of your nonprofit, whatever it might be, how do we move beyond those roadblocks that sometimes occur in reality?
Recently, I was at a conference and I had the opportunity to hear Jeff Henderson speak on this subject. Jeff is the lead pastor at Gwinnett Church, and that's one of the campuses of North Point Church under Andy Stanley's leadership. Jeff used to be over marketing at Chick-fil-A, and he had some great insights on this subject. I want to share with you some of his wisdom, then some things that we've learned along the way. When we think about how do we move our dream into reality, how do we move our vision into reality? As a leader, when I begin to think about my leadership, I try to set a high bar instead of a low bar. If you're going to be a leader, you're a leader for a purpose. You're not wanting to follow someone else's leadership. You're wanting to dream something big. In that way, it all begins with the possibility. What could be, right? What should be and what must be in order for leadership to really take root in your life, to become something that you can run this race. It's not just a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long distance race. What you've got to do is you've got to discipline yourself to be a possibility thinker.
I like that idea, a possibility thinker. How does that help a leader advance?
As soon as you have this vision, guess what? The vision is great while it's inside your head and it's a part of your imagination or it's on a whiteboard. But as soon as you try to take it off the whiteboard, there's limitations. One of the greatest limitations to any vision is money. There's all different types of limitations. And well, if you don't have money, then do you have the personnel that you need? Do you have the team that you need? And do you have the facilities that you need? And do you have the resources that you need? And I've got this most amazing vision. And if you're not careful, then all of a sudden you begin to shrink your vision because you've quit believing that the vision is possible because you're faced with the challenges of reality.
conversation that I had recently with a woman who's wanting to start her own business. She has been successful seeing God use her talents and her skills in a capacity of just helping people, not monetizing it. But now she's saying, could the Lord actually use this to provide for me and to help people in a greater scope? So let's just say that she was sitting here with us, talking to us and having those moments of doubt of, is this just something in my head or is this something I should really throw myself into? And how would you encourage her as she's looking at herself as maybe a brand new leader in some capacities? What would you recommend for her to do?
First of all, I would say doubt is normal. Let's not be scared of doubt. If we normalize doubt, then we have to say, well, how do I overcome the reasons why I'm having doubt? Doubt is not just something that happens by accident. There's a reason behind the doubt. There's a circumstance behind the doubt. There's something practical and logistical as the reason why you're doubting. So what you have to do is you have to normalize that and go, okay, now I'm going to discipline myself to rise above this doubt, and I'm going to focus my thinking and figure out how I can say this vision is still possible. This vision is something that I have to understand that possibility, the possibility of it will cause me to solve the problems. The possibility of it will cause me to quiet the doubt. The possibility of it will fuel the advance.
I love this idea, and I believe this was from Jeff. He talks about leaders own a space in the land of possibility, and they lease a space in the land of reality. Explain how that might look practically in somebody's life in particular, or even in the life of High Point. How has that worked itself out?
Yeah, absolutely. When I heard that statement, I just thought, oh my gosh, I live in that world, right? Because as the visionary of High Point Church, I own a space in the land of possibility. I mean, my mind is always thinking about what we can do next. Typically, it's thinking at least 6 months in advance or a year in advance or even a couple years in advance. The other day, I had a meeting about talking about when are we going to have an event at FedEx Forum? And I was talking about once we hit 5,000, then I think we can start planning the event at FedEx Forum. I was thinking, okay, well, that's going to happen. Okay, 16, 17, 18, probably in 2018, we can start planning that event. Well, I'm living in the land of possibility. But then guess what? Certain types of other people walk into the room.
And it wasn't me this time.
And
those are the detailers, right?
Right. And they live in the land of reality. Those dreamers and detailers don't like one another frequently. Sure, we like one another. We love one another. But in the world of just the way we see things, we're both needed. But we have to apply those skills at the appropriate time. Let's take Brad Hilliard, who is our COO at High Point Church. Brad has an amazing gifting and an ability to hear a vision, to hear a dream, and then begin to have to put the structure around that and to put the blueprints around that and to begin to figure out what that's going to cost. But if we do that too early in the process, then the reality of what's required causes us to lose the dream of possibility.
You and I have walked long enough in this journey that we've seen the ebb and flow of those two parallel tracks. One of the takeaways from this recent event that you were at where Jeff was speaking, one of the things that stood out to me was this idea that amazing things never happen when people live in the land of reality instead of the land of possibility. You are very strong in the vision. I'm very strong in the detail. Help someone out there that maybe is the visionary right now listening to this to know how to manage the tension between those two things. What has been important to you to allow you to both hear the detailer, but also to have the right type of people around you to not totally take reality so far in front of your face that you lose the hope of what God might want to do?
As the visionary and as the dreamer, I have to discipline myself not to start talking about this vision or this idea randomly or just immediately. I have to let the vision marinate in me for a while and not only marinate, I have to begin to research it a little bit and begin to do some advanced work of, is this really possible? Mm-hmm. Because if I just start talking about every idea I have, then it's going to frustrate the rest of the team. It's going to frustrate the detailers because they don't know, is he serious about this? Is he not serious about this? So like in our relationship at times, you know, when we go on a trip and we're on this long car ride, I'll just get to talking, right? And I'll be talking about these different ideas that I've had in my head. And what you and I have learned to do is for you to say, okay, now, Chris, is that in dream world? Or is that something you really want to do? We begin to have this conversation of how do we move it from dream? And Chris, when do I have permission to ask some detail questions? When will my detail questions be an asset to you and they'll help you really bring this dream into reality?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but as I'm listening to you, these are some takeaways. If you are someone, and this applies to everyone, you have a dream, you have an idea, it's important to have a place that you can dream. And then it's also important to be able to bring people in at the appropriate time to help you discern the validity of it. For example, you and I can have a conversation where you can just dream out loud and you need a place where you don't have to be super self-conscious of everybody on your team thinking, oh gosh, another idea, where you can just free flow ideas. But then, like you said, you've disciplined yourself to be able to go, okay, I need to sit on this a while to see what God validates, and then to be able to be willing to receive feedback in that process.
That's exactly right. I'll give you a practical example of that. We're in the process of planning a couple of leadership conferences that will occur over the next 18 to 24 months. When we have a creative planning meeting for those conferences, I am not going to invite the budget people. That's not the place for them. I want to have a creative meeting. I want to invite those fellow visionary type thinkers, those dreamers, and I want us to have a creative meeting without putting dollar signs to things. I want to imagine the possibilities, okay? And when I imagine those possibilities, we will naturally begin to narrow our focus and begin to discern what is possible and what's not possible. You don't need a detailed budget to do that. But once we narrow our focus and we wrap up the creative meeting, then we go and we have a meeting with people who are more detail oriented and people who understand our budgets and people that will help us build a budget for this conference. And then we come and we marry those two together. And sometimes the dollars will then cause us to have to go back and have another creative meeting and go, okay, now we have to be creative within this realm of dollars. But here's the thing I've learned about creativity. Creativity loves constraint. Constraint should not limit creativity. Constraint should cause you to have to be even more creative within the constraint.
Help me make this applicable to somebody who doesn't have a team, someone who's not leading an organization that has a team of dreamers and creatives and a team that's more detail oriented. Maybe you're the owner of a very small business. It's you and your spouse and one or two other employees, or maybe this thing doesn't even exist yet. And maybe you see there's a need somewhere in the community and you want to be a part of the solution. What would you recommend for that person that doesn't already have all of that around them, for them to still know that the Lord can use them and not to be like, well, I don't have those things. I guess nothing's ever going to happen. What would you say to that person?
First of all, I'd say that's a great question. When I hear you ask the question, I'm sitting here going, well, there was a day we didn't have those things. We obviously had to do that at some point in time without all those assets. What I would say to you is that's where you've got to find people who have different talents. And even though they're not paid people, they're people you respect. They're friends. What you do is you take someone to coffee and say, hey, let me run an idea by you. You're beginning to sharpen the idea. You're gathering insight and wisdom from other like-minded people. But then what you have to understand is, okay, now I've had three or four meetings to really sharpen my idea. But now what I've got to do is I've got to go have a couple of other meetings with people who have more detail talents, detail abilities, administrative, and say, here's my idea. What do I need in order to take this from idea world into reality world. And then what you're doing is you're just continuing to walk this down the progression of how do I take my vision and how do I put my vision into a blueprint? And then how do I begin to fund that so that I can actually build this and make it happen?
You and I recently sat down on our sofa with the laptop watching the 40th anniversary of Willow Creek Church, which is Bill Hybels' church out of Chicago. That in particular was such a source of encouragement and inspiration to both of us. How did that help you in the dream world?
You have to watch other dreamers tell their story. You've got to be someone who loves documentaries. You've got to be someone who try to listen to or watch every vision casting story imaginable, or every story that someone goes back and they kind of go back to the origin of their story and they go back to home base. They tell the beginning of the story, because it's in the beginning of the story that you learn the secret of possibility thinkers. Because every possibility thinker is someone that has faced countless obstacles, because the world is not set up for dreams to live. Unfortunately, the world is set up for our dreams to die. So when I watched Bill Hybels, and this is the 40th anniversary, what I saw is a man who refused to let someone detour his dream. He kept the possibility thinking alive through every valley, and there are valleys. You do not live on the mountaintop. You actually live climbing the mountain and going down the mountain, and you spend seasons in the valley. And unfortunately, the seasons in the valley are longer than the seasons you spend on top of the mountain. But what I saw in that story, when you listen to Willow Creek Church, and I would recommend that you go to willowcreek.tv and you go to the archives and you watch the 40th anniversary service that was held at the United Center in Chicago, famous for the place that Michael Jordan built, right? And you watch that place filled up with people who have come to know Christ through that man's vision. And I walked away from that experience and I said, the bride is beautiful. The bride of Christ is absolutely stunning. She is gorgeous. And the reason why that local bride of Christ is so gorgeous and so beautiful is that Bill Hybels refused to shrink his vision of who the bride could be.
Sometimes when you're teaching on a Sunday morning and you're up there, like, I wish there was this little bubble that could come up beside your head to go, okay, and he also wanted to say this, but he didn't have time. And I'm going to be your little bubble right now, because I know from your own walk, and I know just from seeing the fruit of Bill Hybels' walk, one of the key factors is this isn't Bill's dream. This isn't Chris's dream. This is God's vision, and he's looking to and fro for a heart that's completely his. One of the things that happens, whether you are talking about a need that you're trying to meet or a business you're trying to start or whatever the capacity may be, you first go to the Lord to see, is this his? Not asking God to approve what you want to do, but looking and seeing where God's at work. How many times someone will come to you with an idea, and there are many times as a dreamer, you're giving life to that. But then there are also times where you're a person who speaks into that to say, I don't know that this is where you should be spending your energy. Speak to that element of how important it is that you're discerning not just your good idea, but it's God's idea.
That's a great way to say it, by the way, is there are many good ideas. What we have the responsibility to do is to discern what is God's idea so that we adjust our life to God's idea. We adjust our priorities to God's priority, because God will fund something that he started. That's where he's responsible to fulfill his own dreams. But he's not necessarily responsible to fulfill my dream if my dream's not in alignment with his dream. So when I try to speak into people's life, one of the things I try to do is I try to discern, what's the source of this vision? What's the source of this dream? If I can hear that this dream was birthed out of scripture, it was birthed out of their prayer life, it was birthed out of another vision, out of another local church or another ministry or something, then I see that God has brought something alive in them. What I try to do is help them make the adjustments in their life where they're moving from their agenda to God's agenda. And when they're moving on to God's agenda, then I can have confidence if I come alongside that, if others come alongside that, that they're following God's will to bring this dream into reality.
So as we take that back to you sitting there watching the anniversary service for Willow Creek, what are the things that God put in your heart and mind as we think about sitting at the 13th anniversary of High Point, and so about 15 years for us personally that God had put High Point in our heart? What do you dream for the next 27 years?
I walked away from that experience and I thought, okay, 27 years from now, we're 13 years old. That's 2042.
Wow.
That's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
If God has done a great work in our first 13 years, I don't think he did a great work just for the purpose of us to then level off and plateau. Truett Cathy of Chick-fil-A says, if we get better, we'll get bigger. So I think he's always wanting to do a greater work in us and a greater work through us. So when I look another 27 years out and say, if we had the privilege of leading this church for 27 years, I would want someone to do the exact same thing I did when I watched him. I'd say Bill Hybels is great, even though he is. I said the bride is beautiful. The bride is the church. And the reason why the bride is beautiful is because Jesus loves the bride incredibly well. And he removes spot, stain, or wrinkle and presents the bride as holy and blameless. We as the church also have to value the bride. And we as the church have to love the bride. What I hope to see through High Point Church in the next 27 years is that we are not just another successful church. We're not just another church on the corner. But that this is a church that truly becomes an unstoppable movement of God. Other churches become beautiful because of our church. Not only do we reach the lost, but that we are a catalyst for revival and spiritual awakening to occur. What is revival? Revival is when the people of God get right. It is a tragedy for 85% of churches to be plateaued and declining. Let me ask you this. What would you think about our economy if 85% of businesses were plateaued and declining? It would get our attention. We would be in great alarm if 85% of our businesses were declining. And yet 85% of our churches are declining and are projected to die in the next 30 years. We don't have any sense of urgency. So what I would hope is that we create a sense of urgency with the people of God. We create a sense of possibility thinking with the people of God. What happens is that our church makes other churches healthier. Our church starts more and more campuses. Our church births visionaries where there are people who come out of our church because of what God has done in them, and they start other nonprofits, and they start more and more charter schools and more businesses that the business itself is a business that sees itself as an opportunity to be a difference maker. We know several business leaders that they tithe from their business to quality organizations for the purpose of making a difference. What I would see is that an original movement that multiplies itself into countless movements that all have the unifying heartbeat that we want to prove that love works.
Well, that brings us to the end of this particular podcast, and we'll pick up with a part two, kind of a follow-up to this, because there's some practical ways that we will see that work itself out in a day-to-day way. That 27 years seems forever away, but it's in the daily choices between now and then that we will see the fruit of that labor. So thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll stay for our next part and pick back up with us on that conversation. If you want more information, please follow Chris at chrisconley.net, where he blogs. I also blog at karenconley.com. And for more information on High Point Church, you can go to highpointmemphis.com. But more than anything, we want you to remember, love God plus love people equals love works.